We're gathered for Bible study, and we're going to look into 2 Timothy. I think it's clear and accepted that this is Paul's last epistle. He said the idea, though, is that the executioner or the guard that's going to take him to the executioner is standing by him as he writes the last few notes for the second letter to Timothy. Let's start we've gotten up to, in the earlier lessons, up to 2 Timothy 4, and we'll start in verse 13 and 14, actually. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And here Paul gives a specific heads up to Timothy about Alexander the coppersmith. Saved people in the dispensation of the grace of God have been they're saved by the gospel. They're not saved by being good enough or by enduring hardship or going to church or anything else other than believing the gospel that's in the scriptures, in Paul's writings, in 1 Corinthians 15. People only get saved by believing that it was the penalty for all my sins that Jesus Christ died for on the cross and was resurrected. So, if Alexander the coppersmith gets rewarded according to his works instead of according to his faith in the gospel, then he was not yet a saved believer in the dispensation of the grace of God. He was somebody hoping to be good enough or rebelling in the knowledge that he could never be good enough for God. Well, let's go on. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. None of us are good enough for God. We need the righteousness of God to be imputed to us by believing that Christ died for our sins, for my sins. He was buried and raised again the third day, and that was for our justification. Paul's warnings also apply to, well, in a general sense, they apply to us. There are 36 verses in 2 Timothy, peppered throughout the letter, they're warnings. They're warnings about itchy ears, about people, let me just give you the references here if you want to go through them and look. We're not going to look that much at the negative tonight, but they're all in 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I've got six references here. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. Chapter 1, verse 15. Chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Chapter 2, verses 20 through chapter 3, verse 13. That's a long section. And chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. So let's go on in the text here of 2 Timothy. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 4:15, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. So he's warning Timothy still about Alexander. Does anyone withstand our words here today? I know a lot of grace teachers that refuse to come on to Pal Talk because of that very thing. There would be those that would stand against them. They would come into the Pal Talk room and disrupt the meeting as if it was a sport to them. And that verse shows that Paul did suffer evil from Alexander the coppersmith. Look back in Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Notice he says for his body's sake, not for our sins. Paul wasn't suffering for our sins. He was suffering for the body's sake, to get the body, those that are going to be in the body, getting them saved, and those that are in the body, getting them to come to the knowledge of the truth. So if Paul suffered, then that previews our lot, doesn't it? As we work in the ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Something we're all charged with. I'm not talking about a paid ministry or a big church ministry. I'm talking about the ministry as Paul called it, testifying, or that would be spreading or living out the gospel of the grace of God in front of people. 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And we can see Paul's first answer in Acts 22, verses 3 through 24. I'm not going to read all those, but not out loud here. You can read them, and that's verses 3 to 24 in Acts 22. And we can see what happened to Paul and what we can expect to happen to us if we go into certain rooms in Pal Talk or other means of standing up for the Lord, I guess you could call it, or witnessing, testifying the gospel of the grace of God. Let's start in Acts 22, verses 1 to 6. And then go to 22 verse 17 with Paul's first answer. Starting in verse 1 of Acts 22. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense. So he's giving his defense. He's been charged and he's giving his defense. My defense which I make now unto you. Verse 2. And when they heard him that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, which was and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Verse 4. And I persuaded this way, I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the state of the elders, from whom I also received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. Verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly There shone from heaven a great light round about me. And when Paul finishes in verse 16 telling about his Damascus Road salvation pattern from Christ, he continues by telling about a later experience in Jerusalem's temple. That's after he finishes in verse 16, we come down to verse 17, Acts 22, 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. don't ignore that crucial statement in the Word of God, or the indicators in the context about the timing of that event, where the temple vision there that Paul saw, and the warning that Christ gave him. And Paul lived through it, so he had taken that warning and followed. Got out in a hurry, got out of Jerusalem. Going on, though, in the context, after it said, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me, verse 19, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee, verse 20, and when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. Verse 21. Crucial statement here. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. That's notification of a future sending. And we've been reading in Acts 22, but Paul is talking about what happened in the temple vision back in Acts 18, verse 22. Acts 18, verse 22. And when he had landed at Caesarea, talking about Paul, he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. So Jerusalem's up high in elevation. Antioch is down. Caesarea is down toward the sea, just about at sea level, I guess. Being a seaport. When he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, so that's where he appeared at Jerusalem in the temple, gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Just a few words there, and he left in a big hurry. So, and you can trace the different Paul's different visits to Jerusalem and find the only one where he left in a hurry. The fourth visit, and that would be in Acts 22, where he's reciting what happened back in Acts 18, and about to get arrested for what he says at the end of it there. Verse 21, Acts 22, 21, and he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Boy, did that rub them the wrong way, I'm telling you. We see in Acts 18:22, Paul did make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. And that was before he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, in Acts 20, verse 6, in between when he got the temple vision in Acts 18, and then he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia in Acts 20, and he tells these Jews in Jerusalem the content of the temple vision, and they erupt in a riot and want him killed. That would be in Acts 22. So you see the sequence there. But that was Paul's first answer that he was talking about in 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. The following verses tell what Paul was referring in Acts 22:21, where Paul continues with his report of his second sending. And if you bristle at the term second sending, you want to call it later sending or something else, it is an obvious different sending at a different time to different people with a different gospel name, but the same gospel salvation message as the content of it. that Christ, if you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, you are saved. Verses 1 and 2 make that clear, that 3 and 4 is what to believe to be saved. And the word saved is right there in verse 2. Word gospel is in verse 1. And belief, that it has to be believed and received, is in all four of those. It's in 1 and 3. Okay. So, Acts 22, verse 21, he said, and he said unto me, talking Paul saying that Christ said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Verse 22, and they gave him audience, gave him ear, gave him, you know, they listened, gave him audience unto this word. What word? Unto the Gentiles. This is what happened next after Paul told the apostate Jews and the people listening that Jesus Christ was sending him unto the Gentiles, far hence unto the Gentiles. Not those Gentiles that were nigh in the synagogues. The Jews knew about those devout Gentiles and Greeks. They were okay with them. Those synagogue Gentiles and Greeks brought their tithes. They blessed Israel, came to the synagogue meetings. But Paul was saying that now Christ sent him far hence unto the far off Gentiles. Far hence unto the Gentiles, the ethnos. Those, not to the Hellen or Hellene, there's a different Greek word, in other words, that it was written in. He's sending him to ethnos, general Greeks, Greeks that did not care about Israel or synagogues or the Word of God or God himself. They had their own gods. Paul testified that in Acts 20, Christ had sent him to the ethnos, the general Gentiles, to the wide variety of Gentiles, to the foreign, pagan, heathen, ungodly Gentiles, the people of the nations that had nothing to do with God or Israel, to the remainder of the Gentiles that had not been, Paul had not been sent to before. Finally, expanding the salvation message and commission to all men so that all could hear and believe, even to those that God had cursed in Genesis 12, verse 3, the middle part there, B. I will curse him that curseth thee. Well, the Gentiles had been a curse to Israel, as they are today, for the most part. When Paul told the Jews about that at his first defense, here's how they reacted. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And they cried out, as they cried out and cast off their clothes, and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle. And we're going to close here, but that begins Paul's imprisonment, or at least his arrest and some sort of confinement along with it. Lastly, Acts 22:24, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And we'll catch the rest of it tomorrow, I think. Okay? We're going to stop there. And comments or questions, observations, anything different than what you might have been taught in your church or by your parents or whatever. We got to go by the Bible. people that are telling you what they see in the Bible is not any way on the same level as of authority and believability as reading it in the Bible and considering to whom it is written. Doesn't tell us to lay up treasure in heaven where moth and dust doth not corrupt. It does tell Israel that, though, because it's safekeeping for after they were cast away, and then Paul is saved and sent to us with the gospel that we're saved by believing that Christ died for our sins. And when we're completed, the body of Christ is completed, taken to heaven, or caught up to be with the Lord, it says, then Israel's what they've laid up and what they lay up then will count for them. It'll be reserved, so to speak.